let's get caught up on all things politics. Who better?
Well, Wilfred, the news came
political
after
there are new hurdles involving the vaccine rollout with questions about final distribution to Americans.
On Sunday, Ariana Grande nearly broke the internet and announced its relief package in a last-second cliffhanger after bringing the country
to the
tonight, millions head home after the final warnings to march back to Texas Congress.
What a year it's been. Will things improve? We want to believe that life will simply have to be better than it has been. However, the Word of God teaches us that hope is only found in one source, Jesus. 1 Peter teaches us to set our hope fully on the grace of God. Through Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Realistic hope that will transform the way we live.
In the 1950s, there was an interesting but brutal study done by a man named Dr. Kurt Richer at Harvard University. And it involved laboratory rats. And what he did was this. And this will really relate to what I'm going to talk about tonight. He took rats and he put them in a pool of water to see how long they would survive. So that's brutal, okay? I do not condone what he did, and I did not conduct the experiment myself. So no emails. I'm just the messenger. He did this experiment. So he took group one of rats, put them in water and to see how long they would survive until they got tired or gave up and drowned. So the first group lasted for 15 minutes on average that the rats would drown. He took a second group, and this is where it gets interesting. The second group he put in, and he'd let them struggle, but before they gave up, he'd reach in and rescue them, take them out, dry them off, and let them rest before he put them back in to see how long they would last at that point. Again, brutal, I understand that. But let me ask you a question. The first group, on average, lasted 15 minutes. How long do you think the second group lasted after they'd been rescued and put back in? 15 more minutes? They're a little bit tired, maybe less, 10, 5. Now listen carefully. The second group lasted over 60 hours treading water. That's not a mistake. Why is the question? Why did the first group last 15 minutes and once they were rescued and put back in, they lasted for 60 hours? There's one word, hope. Hope. These laboratory rodents had hope that they would be rescued again. Well, the other ones just gave up. They saw no hope. But these guys had hope. Do you see where this is going for you and I? Hope is a powerful force in our lives, especially when we find ourselves over our head with COVID and politics and all the junk going on around us. We feel like we're drowning in it. We need hope. If we don't have hope, then we're going to sink and we're going to die. And hope, here's the deal. Hope has to be realistic, like Josh talked about last week. It has to have a foundation. I'm going to talk about hope. Hope in suffering. How do we find that hope? Peter talks about it. How do we have hope, realistic hope? Because it has to be realistic. Like, this is the chart that Josh showed. Our foundation has to go all the way to bedrock of Jesus Christ. When we build our lives, when that building of our life, it can't stop in the wet clay, the soft clay. It's got to go to bedrock. And that's what he talked about last week. And you can watch that message. And here's the deal. Some of us, we put our hope in the wrong things, and it's going to cause our life to not be all it can be. We're going to lean over. We could collapse. We could trust in our 401k, our retirement, because it did so well this year. And we think, oh, we're going to be fine financially. That could go away, by the way. Just like that. If you don't believe it, then go back to 2008. Things just disappeared. You could trust in the government. I wouldn't, but you could. You could trust in vaccines to make everything right. I wouldn't trust in that. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get it. I'm not making a statement. I'm just saying. You could trust in your friends, a fantastic marriage. That could go south. You could trust in all the good circumstances you have or how many friends you have on social media. All those things, you're building your foundation on sand. You got to go to Jesus. Jesus, listen, is a realistic hope. Jesus has rescued us as Christians. He has rescued us, and he will rescue us for eternity from the second death, from being punished forever for our sins. As Christians, he rescued us. And we can have hope. Like those rats, we can have hope. It's a powerful force in our lives when things are difficult, which they are for many of us. Hope is a powerful force, and we have a foundation. We have realistic hope. Jesus really came to this planet. He really died for our sins. He really rose from the dead, and he really offers eternal life to anyone who will ask for it. And if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you have a hope of eternal life. And you have a hope in this life that God lives inside you to help you through your problems. That's realistic. That's real. And it can have an effect on your life if you believe it. If you believe it. So, we're going to look at four reasons that we can have hope in a messed up world. Let's just jump right into it. We're going to pick it up where Josh left off last week. Here's the first reason we can have hope in a hopeless, messed up world. And that's because your suffering, men and women, and my suffering is temporary. Now you say, wait a minute, Bill, I've been sick for a lot of years, and I understand that. What we see in the Bible, Jesus and God have an eternal perspective. Our suffering, respective of eternity, is small. We look at life as it is right now. If we just look at life, yeah, that suffering for a few years or many years, it seems like a long time. But when you shine it in the light of eternity that never ends, that never stops and goes on forever, then our suffering is temporary. It's subjective to what we're looking at as our timeline. Okay, so we pick it up right here, verse 6 of 1 Peter 1. It says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So we look at the first part. I'm just going to break this verse down a little more than the other verses. We're going to go through the other ones a little bit faster, but we're going to set the table here. And like Josh mentioned last week, this section of verses right here that Josh started is really one long run-on sentence in the original language. Just kind of, we put breaks, but it was a run-on sentence. So it says, in this, you greatly rejoice. So we need to understand what the this is in this, right? So if you won $1 million, you'd be rejoicing. So we'd say, what are you rejoicing for? What's your this? Well, in this, the fact that I won $1 million, in this, I greatly rejoice. Or my team won the Super Bowl. In this, the fact that my team won the Super Bowl, I greatly rejoice. You got a lifetime supply of McRibs. In this, you greatly rejoice. What's it talking about? What's the this? Well, it's all that Josh talked about last week. And here's a summary verse, verse 3. This is the this. This is why Christians should be excited and rejoicing. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the this. In this we greatly rejoice. In that, Christian, you should be greatly rejoicing. And so should I. You have been born again of the Spirit of God through a living hope. A living hope doesn't die. A living hope doesn't die even if you die. The hope that we have in Christ goes on beyond the grave. We have a living hope. Even if things get darker and darker and worse, the hope of God living inside of us is a living hope. It'll never go away. It'll never stop. It can never be taken away. It can never be quarantined. We have a hope that's living. And it's because of Jesus and what he did. He came to this planet as a baby, grew up. He died on a cross. He rose on the third day for us to have what? A living hope in this. You greatly rejoice. Christians should be the happiest people on the planet. We should be. We should be more joyful than anyone. In this, you greatly rejoice. We can rejoice because we're born again of the Spirit, because we're going to heaven, because we have God living inside of us. But life's so hard. But we can rejoice in Christ. We don't discount that life is difficult. But in the midst of it, we can have hope. In this, we greatly rejoice. Another part of the verse. It says this, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trial. We don't want to pass the word had. You may have had to. That's an imperative. That means somehow this was necessary for you to suffer. God is in control. He knows what he's doing. And when we suffer, God has a plan in it. It's not wasted. You may have had to. It wasn't optional. God knows what he's doing in your life. He may allow you to suffer. He may do that. You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Think of it. Grief, in other words for grief are agony, anguish, bereavement, despair, discomfort, gloom, heartache. In other words for trials are testing, difficulty, struggles. We can have griefs and trials in all kinds of loss, whether it's emotional or physical or spiritual. And the words all kinds there. In the Greek, it literally means many colored, and I love that. I don't love all the trials, but I love the fact that our trials are many colored. And the way our trials hit us may be different. Your trial, though it may not seem big to me or to other people, it could be huge to you, and it is huge to you. Some of you are going through some very difficult things. Trials and grief, God tells us, come in many colors. And I love what this theologian, William Barclay, he talked about this very verse and the fact that the Greek word there means many colored. And our trials, our difficulties have all these different flavors. And we wonder if God can meet our need. Can he help us? Does he know how to help in this situation? And he says this, there is no color in the human situation which the grace of God cannot match. Meaning, whatever you're going through, whatever trial, whatever difficulty you're going through, whatever color your grief is, God's grace can match it. My wife and I spent a bunch of time today. She was at Sherwin-Williams and different places. We're going to paint our bedroom in March when she takes her trip back to Iowa. I'm going to paint it. And we're matching. We have all, if you go to our bedroom right now, we have things taped all over our walls. We're going to look at it in different light. And guess what? There is a gabillion different types of colors. They have no problem matching our paint. It's like all these look exactly the same to me. Let's just take them off the wall. I don't like any of them. That's kind of how I am. There's no problem. Whatever color you take, they have these color wheels. They can match it. Listen, no matter what trial you're going through, God can help you with his grace. He can match it. No matter what color your trial is, God's grace can match it. Your trials are diverse. Now let's go to this section. Now for a little while, you see, our suffering will come to an end. That's one of the big points I want to make here. Our suffering will come to an end. And in this verse, Peter calls it a little while. He says, though now, for a little while. Again, our suffering is temporary, and it's going to come to an end. It will. Maybe not in this lifetime. Here's the beautiful thing for Christians. Even if our trials don't end in this lifetime, we die, and then all our trials are gone, and we're in paradise forever with God. Forever and ever. No more tears, no more crying, no more politics, no more anything. King Jesus is on the throne, and we worship him, and we love him, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to enjoy the things of God that he made for us, that he had originally wanted for us on the new earth. And it's going to be so amazing. We're going to forget, really, all the trials that we had. They're short. They're going to come to an end, and they won't even come to mind, even though today they're very difficult. This is what the Bible says, for a little while. And then later in chapter 5, Peter says it again. He says it this way, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered, say it with me, a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's a promise. I've claimed that promise through tears many times. God, you promised this is going to come to an end. It's in a little while. You're going to have to make me strong because I don't feel strong right now. And you're going to have to make me steadfast. And you're going to have to make me firm. And he does that. After a little while, our suffering is going to end. But I don't want you to miss the fact that we have hope, a realistic hope. Just like the second group of rats, they had a realistic hope, and it gave them energy, and they could. It had a real effect on their lives. The fact that we as Christians are going to heaven, we know that Jesus died for us, should give us a realistic hope. I don't want you to miss the joy in the journey, even when things get hard. And what we can do is we focus on what God has ahead of us. It's like this. Let me illustrate it. I know it's kind of hard. First of all, I want us to think about eternity because it's so hard to grasp. I want to give you an illustration that's helped me over the years. I tweaked it a little bit. Imagine there's a huge block of granite floating in outer space. It's a mile wide, a mile long, and a mile deep. Solid granite up there. And once every 1,000 years, a single grain of sand bashes against the side, just hits the side and bounces off. And imagine that this grain of sand, once every 1,000 years, bashes against that granite, and when this granite has thus been pulverized completely, this mile wide, mile long, the whole granite has finally been broken down by that one grain of sand over just once over 1,000 years. Once it's down to nothing, then listen, then one day would have passed in eternity. One day. Eternity goes on and on. And we can't even get our minds around it. We can't even describe it. Our trials today are minuscule compared to eternity. And don't miss what God has for you along the way. I've gone to Disneyland a few times, and I love Disneyland. It is truly a happy place for me. I just enjoy it. I dream about just having the whole place to myself. Just kick everybody else out, and I got the whole place to myself. And getting all the food and all the rides. And I've gone a few times with my family, and I want you to imagine with me. We get excited about it. Again, we've only done it a few times. And getting prepared, and maybe you've done it before. So you think about it. You're excited. You got your tickets. You got everything packed, and you start heading in your car. And what happens? You spill your coffee all over you right out of the chute. Okay, I mean, on the way to Disneyland, just spill your coffee and you're bummed out, right? But what do you think? Oh, I'm going to the kingdom, man. I'm going to be at the kingdom tomorrow. This is okay. And you go farther and you get a flat tire. And you think, man, I got a flat tire. And you think, that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to Disneyland. And then you have to eat crappy food at some gas station, some burrito. And you think, you know what? No way. Tomorrow I'm going to be eating Dole Whip at the Tiki Hut. Tomorrow I'm going to be eating turkey legs or a churro. I'm going to be eating the Pizza Planet tomorrow in 24 hours. I can handle the burrito at the Maverick. I know, no offense, John. The Maverick burritos are good, right? They're so good. I didn't mean Maverick. I wouldn't have. That's better than Disneyland, brother. My point, do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand the point? There can be joy in the journey even when things go wrong, even when you have troubles, if you keep your eye focused on the prize, on where you're going. That's what it says in Colossians. Wait a minute. I have in Colossians 3:2, it says, I think I have it in a different slide here, but it applies. It says this, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Get your mind on heaven, and guess the problems won't be, they'll be more tolerable. They still hurt, yes, but they'll be more tolerable. That's what I want to say. Listen, it's the happiest place on earth, but heaven is better because Disneyland can close down and rides can break and weather can be bad, but weather's never going to be bad in heaven, and the food's never going to be bad in heaven. And relationships are never going to go south in heaven. And God promises us with a living hope. That's where we're going. And that'll give you strength to get through difficult times. That's the first thing. You can have hope because your trials, your difficulty, your suffering is temporary. Here's the second thing. Because your faith will be rewarded. We'll go through these points a little faster. You can have hope because your faith is going to be rewarded. And when you suffer, your faith grows. That's what it says in verse 7. These have come. What has come? Trials, grief of all kinds, many colors, have come so that your faith. And he says, of this faith, it's greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in something. What does your faith, which is refined by fire, result in? Praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Who's the praise, glory, and honor for? Yes, Jesus, but also for you and for me. Because God tells us many places that we'll be rewarded for our faith. And for all eternity, can you imagine Jesus walking around saying, this is my guy, this is my girl, right here. Angels, come meet him. Abraham, come here. I want you to meet this person. Let me tell you about their faith. And Abraham's going to go, man, I've been wanting to meet you. You're going to get praise and glory and honor. There'll be reward. There'll be reward in heaven for you and for Jesus. You see, suffering is God's tool to grow our faith. And faith is what Jesus says is most important on this life. When he comes back, it says, the Bible says, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith on earth? That's what he's interested in. Your faith. So he's going to help grow your faith, and trials, suffering help do that. And I just was intrigued this week as I was studying how faith and hope are so connected in the Bible. Faith and hope. Hope has to have a foundation. Faith looks at that hope and says, I can trust it. Now, look what it says in Hebrews 1, the definition of faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. That's faith. It's connected to hope. And hope has to have a foundation, and we have that. For certain, what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's faith. And then 1 Corinthians 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. Faith and hope are like a combo. So it's really faith, hope, and then love. We have a hope that is realistic. We do. And God wants our faith to grow. That's the good news. We can have faith on this planet. The bad news is, how do we get faith? Most likely trials. That grows our faith. That's the bad news. But if we understand that God's going to use our faith and reward our faith through the suffering, through the trials, that will strengthen us as we travel this life. I love what Johnny Erickson Tata said. Unfortunately, when she was 17 years old, she had an unfortunate accident where she dove into some water and hit her head and broke her neck, and she's been paralyzed from her neck down for now over 55 years. But she's been an amazing force for good. She's been an amazing ambassador for Christ all those years. You know who I'm talking about. And she says this about, and she's struggling with cancer right now, not for the first time. She's gone through cancer bouts, but she's struggling today with cancer. But there's someone you can listen to. Don't listen to me when it comes to trials. But we can listen to somebody like this, right? They understand trials. She says, God is more concerned with conforming me to the likeness of his son than leaving me in my comfort zones. God is more interested in inward qualities than outward circumstances. Things like refining my faith, humbling my heart, cleaning up my thought life, and strengthening my character. She has an eternal perspective. She has a hope that is realistic, and she understands how God uses trials. Not only that, suffering is God's pathway to reward, because he rewards faith. In James chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. What is the crown of life? We've studied it. We've looked at it. I don't know exactly what it is, but you want it. You want it. It's a good thing. God gives us crowns. There's lots of different crowns. If you do the study in the Bible, God wants to give you a crown of life. This one comes from those who stand up and have faith during their difficult times. Doesn't mean things aren't hard. You're just smiling all the time. It's through tears, but you persevere. Understanding your faith is growing stronger, and God has a reward for you. I love the verse. I don't have it on the screen, but Romans 8:18 talks about how our present sufferings are nothing compared to our future glory. That's having an eternal perspective. and that will help you in the midst of your suffering. So, first of all, we see that faith, that hope is found because our suffering is temporary. Then we see that our faith is going to be rewarded. And on this idea that we just read, that our faith is greater worth than gold, even though it's refined. You've heard that illustration about how gold is refined. The master goldsmith heats the gold, and the impurities float to the top, and he skims those off. And then he heats it again and skims off the impurities. And the master goldsmith knows that the gold is pure when he leans over and he can see his reflection in the gold. In the same way, men and women, God allows us to go through trials. And he heats our lives up and he skims it off and then he heats it up. And he knows that we've been perfected or we've been accomplished the faith that he wants in us when he looks, the master looks at us and he sees his reflection. That's what the refiner's fire does. He's interested in our faith growing. So here's the third reason we can have hope in the midst of trials is because our salvation is secure. Our salvation is secure. Somebody asked me this week, what does The Rock believe about eternal security? I said, we believe it. Yes, we believe it. We believe that once someone is born again of the Spirit, they can't be unborn. That God doesn't give a gift and take it back. Eternal life is not temporary life until you can prove your worth. No, it's eternal. It goes on forever. It doesn't stop. Once someone becomes a Christian, once they've had all their sins forgiven, you've been washed by the blood of Christ, you've repented and turned to him in faith and received the gift of eternal life, you are signed, sealed, and going to be delivered to heaven whether you like it or not. You can go kicking and screaming, but you're going. And we did a message on this. I'm not going to teach on this, I want to make a different point, but you can go to this particular series that we did. This is five messages I gave on forgiveness, and I hit this a lot. I encourage you to go to The Essentials of Forgiveness back in February of 2015. Here's a point I want to make here. Faith and salvation bring us inexpressible joy. That's what Peter says here in verse 8 and 9. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving, present tense, are receiving right now, the goal of your faith. What's the goal of your faith? The salvation of your souls. There it is again. That's this. In this you greatly rejoice. In this, your salvation. That's the goal of our faith. That's what we look at. That's what we look to. That's the gift that God has given to us. And because of that, we have inexpressible. You can't even communicate it. There's no way to communicate it. Only groans will communicate this joy that you and I can have. It's inexpressible and glorious. Because you and I have been saved from our sins by a loving God. And right now, it's affecting our lives. Right now, we're receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And suffering has a lot to do with our faith, and suffering is going to affect how we live this life. And we can rejoice in the midst of it. We can get through it. I like what John Piper says. He says, we do not choose suffering simply because we are told to, but because the one who tells us to describes it as the path to everlasting joy. Inexpressible joy through your sufferings, yes. That's the pathway, and we can have it, men and women. God promises us we can have hope when life seems hopeless and we feel like we're drowning in all the stuff around us because our suffering is temporary, our faith will be rewarded, and yes, our salvation is secure. Let me illustrate it real quick. My wife and I like to go to Maine. I've told you that before. We went last September. We usually go every other year. This year, we're going to go in September again. We decided not to wait a year. We're just going to do it. And I've already got the plane tickets. I used all my miles to buy our plane tickets for September. I've got the place reserved where we stay, the same place we stayed for 15 years. I've got my rental car. I reserved a convertible because we love looking at the trees. I've got a convertible already reserved. We are ready for this trip to Maine in September, and I booked it a month ago. Now, we booked this trip. This one here was last September. And we booked that way ahead of time, too. Here's what it did for us. Just listen. We went through a lot of crappy stuff this year, right? Coronavirus and politics, all this stuff. I went through it with you and our church and all of that. But there were times Mary and I would look at each other and say, man, I wish we were in Maine right now. And lobster was $5.99 a pound. Live lobster was $5.99 a pound. That's cheaper than most meat. That's why I ate like 23 of them in 10 days. I was just on a budget. I had to eat the cheap meat, right? The whole year, even through all the stuff, we looked toward that trip, and we knew we were going, and we knew it was going to be awesome, and it was. The weather was perfect. It was such a blessing. But here's what I know. That trip could have got canceled. I know Josh's trips have got canceled to Hawaii for his anniversary. They haven't been able to go. Maine, we had to take a COVID test before we went in. And the weather could have been bad. A lot of things could have happened. But here's what I want to say. So, heaven is not going to get canceled. Heaven is not going to be bad weather or coronavirus. It's something that you can look forward to, men and women, with joy. You can't. And here's the verse that I shared. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Amen? Amen. Last point. We can have hope because Jesus suffered for you. Just see how Peter makes this very personal for you. In fact, Jesus' death purchased salvation for you, and that's called grace. Here's what he says. We're just going to read these last three verses. I'm going to tell you a story, and then we will pray and be done. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, remember the salvation is the this. In this we greatly rejoice. Our salvation, we got to focus on that. The prophets who spoke of the grace, that's unconditional favor. The prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come searched intently with the greatest of care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ. Remember, Jesus suffered. In fact, it says that he was perfected by his sufferings. Jesus suffered. And the glories, that was what we just talked about, the reward, and we're going to get glory, and God's going to get glory because of our faith that is refined through trials. The glories that would follow. Verse 12. It was revealed to them, to the prophets, that they were not serving themselves, but who? But you. That's pretty cool. The prophets of old realized they were serving you and me when they spoke of the things that they've now been told, they have now told you by those who have preached the gospel. That's the good news of our salvation, of the this. To you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Jesus purchased salvation for you and for me. That is called grace. We didn't deserve it. He offered to us free of charge. We can take it or we can choose not to. Let me illustrate it and then we'll conclude. This is my Taco Bell story, okay? And I've told it before. I'm going to tell it again. Happened about 25 years ago in Loveland, Colorado, when I was pastoring a church there. One of my good friends, Edgar, and I were studying the Bible together, and we had the idea, how can we show unconditional love to our community? What can we do just to give love freely? And we were reading different books, and somebody had this idea, so we decided to try it. Edgar was an engineer at HP, Hewlett Packard at the time. He had more money than me. He said, I got an extra $100. Let's go to Taco Bell, and let's buy whoever comes in, we'll buy $100 worth of food. Let's just give it to them free. They come in, order the food, we'll pay for it. I said, great, let's go do it. So we went to Taco Bell, $100 bill, and we thought, oh, we got to talk to the manager. We went to a place, they didn't have drive-thrus at the time, and it was just one register, so it was perfect. And so we went to the manager, and I said, hey, this is kind of crazy, but we'd like to pay for the next $100 worth of food of everybody that comes in. And surprisingly, he went, okay, sounds good. So we get a little box, we put it by the register, and told the crew what was going to happen. And I said, hey, here's the deal. We're going to sit and watch. We just want to watch, but don't tell anybody that we paid for it. We want to do this, you know, without anybody knowing we did it. But we do have these cards we printed on the front, said, just want to let you know that God loves you. On the back, we had our church information, and we gave them a stack, said, if they ask and you want to pass these out, that's fine. If you don't feel comfortable passing them out, that's fine. We just want to pay for the food. So we went and sat down, got something to drink in the corner, and the first person came in. And they ordered, six tacos and drinks and this and that, and it came to like $1.50, and we thought, we're going to be here all night long. $100 goes a long way 25 years ago at Taco Bell. So the guy cashes it out and says, that'll be, you know, $1.89. And then she gets her money out and he goes, somebody came in and they kind of wanted to pay for your food. She's getting her money and she goes, what? Somebody, they said they got $100 and they want to pay for everything. And she goes, what are you talking about? She goes, well, oh, read this. Somebody already paid for it, and he took the money out, and he cashed it and put the money back, the change in the box. And she's looking at it and going, so I don't have to pay for anything? They go, no. She goes, all right. So she leaves, takes the card. And this goes on for about a half hour, okay? And then all of a sudden, what was certainly going to be a boring night in the fast food business became one of the best nights that these guys ever had. Because the cooks were now, anytime somebody coming in, they were looking over, waiting to see their face when they were told that the food was free. Because the cashier guy was now getting into it, and he was taking the order and say, that'll be $2.94. And he picked up the card and goes, but it's already paid for. And they say, and the people go, what are you talking about? It's already paid for. Somebody paid for it. You don't have to pay for it. And he took the money out, and he's kind of looking at him. And the guys in back of him that are cooking the food are going, this is awesome. And this went on, and we watched a lot of people. Some people demanded to know who did it, and they point to us, and a number of people came back and thanked us, and we had a good conversation. Some people ordered a bunch of food. Some people ordered just a little bit of food. Guess what? It was all covered. It didn't matter how much food they ordered. It was covered. But something happened that, this is the last part of my story. A guy came in, I'll never forget it, and he ordered his food, and it was, $4 and whatever cents. And the guy said, and it's paid for! And the guy's getting his billfold out, and he said, what? He goes, read this, it's all paid for. And the guy took it and looked at it, and he saw the church name, and he goes, no, I'm going to pay for it. Took his money out, set it down and said, I'll pay for my own food. And the cashier was a little bit shocked, like, really? And he goes, yeah, he pushed the card aside, I'll pay for it. Gave his money, took his food, and left. You know what I learned that night? Is that God offers grace freely to everyone, but you have to take it. You have to take it. You have to receive it. You have to act on it. You can say no to it. And many of you in this room have said no to the grace of God because you're going to pay for it yourself. And guess what? You will. You will pay for it for all eternity in a place called hell. You will pay for your own sin because Jesus paid freely for all your sin. But you got to take it. Amen? You got to take it. Why wouldn't you take it? Why wouldn't you say yes? Jesus paid for all your tacos. He paid for all your sin. And you would say no to that? That's dumb. He offers it to you freely. He didn't say, come clean up your life and I'll give you some tacos. Come wipe the floor and I'll give you some. No, he said, I'll pay for it. If you'll just receive it and come to me, humbly come to me. Will you humbly come to him? Listen, we've talked a lot about suffering and the hope we have. The real hope you can have tonight, men and women, is a hope of salvation. This is salvation. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. The grace of God paid for all your sins. You can have your sins forgiven, paid for tonight. You can have hope in a hopeless world, but the hope must have a foundation. And the foundation is who? Who's the foundation? Jesus is the foundation. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. And I thank you so much. As Christians, the hope that you give us. It's a real hope. It's a realistic hope. It's a hope based on fact that you died for my sins and you paid for them and you rose from the dead. And someday I'm going to be with you forever and the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I have a hope even if life gets hard. And I thank you for that. I just want to pray for anyone here who has not yet received the free gift of love that God offers. And that gift is to pay for all your sins freely. Just take it. You can have it. You can say to Jesus, God, I've sinned against you. I don't deserve this, but I understand now you've given me eternal life. You've given me salvation. You paid for my sins on the cross so that you can offer it to me. Why would I reject that? I say yes to you tonight, right now. Come into my heart. cleansing me of all my sins. I receive that gift of grace right now, the best way I know how. And I say, thank you, Jesus, because I know who gave me that gift. It was you, Jesus. It was you. Come into my life, make me new. Now, if that was your prayer tonight, come find me. Come find one of our leaders or go to the Connections booth. We want to help you understand what it means to have this gift of eternal life. It's the best decision you've ever made. Lord, we thank you again for this night. We love you, and we commit it to you, and we thank you, and we rejoice with inexpressible joy in you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.